I'm a little bit under the weather today, as you might hear from my voice. I don't know if Australia are the ones who made me sick or what, or to my children or what. I don't know what it is. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Cricket Blog Podcast, where we'll be reviewing an unbelievable series win for Pakistan in Australia in the ODIs, and touch on a lot of other different topics. And Nash, we've been focusing a lot on India in recent weeks because of their 3-0 loss in New Zealand, but I'm sure you'd be happy to be focusing on Australia today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be focusing on both India and Australia pretty soon as well. So, yes. So what happened there? I think from a non-Australian point of view, Pakistan just played really good cricket. But what do you make of that series loss?
I think how you can sum it up is Pakistan's fifth bowler bowled a total of 3 overs in the whole series. And they still won. That just goes to show everything you need to know about our batting in this series.
And where do you rate Jake Fraser-McGurk now?
So I just tweeted that to be a successful one day player, I think he's got a lot of work to do on the training pitch in the nets. A couple of dismissals in the series. You look at his front leg. We're taught you have to have that leg bent, head over the ball. He's driving with a very straight leg and the head's nowhere near the ball. So you can hit your way out as much as possible, as much as you can, as much as you want to, but you're going to get found out when the ball's moving around a bit in ODI cricket. In T20 cricket, you can get away with it. That's where his best format is at the moment. But if you want to succeed in the longer formats, you've got to be a little bit better technically. And I think that's where Australia went wrong, particularly in the third game. We didn't have anyone there who could sort of steady things. Lots of T20 sort of players with that sort of mindset, and that's why we got bowled out so quickly. But credit to Pakistan, their fast bowlers were amazing. Shaheen Shah Afridi, that's the best he's bowled in a long time. Harris Ralph as well. These guys were listless a year ago in the World Cup, but they came here to Australia and they dominated. They really did.
And even in the first ODI, which Australia won,
Yes.
the question remains, how did they win that? Because the
Cummins.
batsmen tried all their tried their best to lose that for Australia, and no one really played the long innings. We got a couple of starts, and Steve Smith with 44 and Inglis with 49, but no one really stayed at the crease. And then Cummins, as usual, God's favorite child, came in and did the job.
We could have been swept 3-0 had it not been for Pat Cummins. And I've always said that there is always a room or a spot for, an accumulator in the ODI setup. I know we've got Smith and Marnus in there, but even with those two players, we were bundled out in Adelaide and bundled out in Melbourne almost. I think there's always room for batting the long haul and almost constructing an innings. That's important. Constructing an ODI innings is still important, even in this age of T20. But I think a lot of players or a lot of teams have lost the art of that. And I think
So
England
what
are
you're
ready to go.
saying is teams need an anchor.
I think so. I mean, that word is it's a swear word on Twitter, isn't it? The anchor. But I think there's always room for it in one day cricket
Absolutely.
because you need to be
Absolutely.
able to
And
construct. If you've got a team full of T20 players, you might score 400 one day, but you're going to be bowled out in 30, 35 overs most days.
yesterday's India loss to South Africa showed the importance of an anchor in T20s as well, that you can't always rely on batters going gung ho from ball one till the ball
Especially
120.
if
And
conditions have something in it for the bowlers, which they do have in
exactly.
Australia the last few years, and this series was no different. So.
What most fans and experts seem to sort of forget is cricket is a horses for courses sport. It's not, you can't have five Glenn Maxwells or you can't have five Steve Smiths. It's horses for courses, because you need a Virat Kohli, you need a Maxwell, you need a Pujara as well, because the game swings like a pendulum, up and down, different phases, red ball, white ball, even T20 and one day as well, because one day is a different ball game than T20 as well. So you need different players for different phases, and people don't seem to acknowledge that, because they think every batter that comes in has to go, just at a strike at 150 from the first ball.
It's very conditions based cricket, very conditions based. If the ball's doing a bit, you need the players who are able to cope with that. And in all series, in this ODI series, the ball was nipping around, moving around. There was help for the bowlers. And I think Australia tactically as well yesterday in the Perth game, absolutely shocking. I mean, it was Josh Inglis's debut as captain, and I thought it wasn't a good start personally. Lance Morris was arguably the biggest threat for us in the bowling attack. He wasn't brought on until what, the 12th or 13th over, when they had 60 on the board. The game's over by then. And lo and behold, he takes the 2 wickets. I don't understand how we're opening the bowling with Stoinis when we've got 140 to defend. Doesn't make sense. What's the think tank? I understand the ODI series and the T20 series against Pakistan is not the headline event in the summer. I get it, but
But it's still a prep. It's
it's
still a
still a
prep.
prep, and you need to be better. When you play for Australia, a lot of it is expected of you. And we've been collapsing a lot across formats the last, well, since last World Cup,
And
across formats.
there's
Whatever the format is, the batting's been a bit shaky, and it's happened again.
hopefully it happens in the red ball format as well soon.
Get lost.
Positives for Pakistan after a turmoil, last 12 months after, the I don't know what to call it, but the change in captaincy, going back to Babar Azam, going back to Afridi, now finally they settled on Rizwan, and a good start for Rizwan as well with the 2-1 victory in Australia. So lots of positives because their bowling definitely stood up this time, because it's all on their bowling, that the onus was on their bowling, because bowlers have let down Pakistan a lot in the last few months. And this time they did a great job, restricted Australia in all, let's face it, in all three ODIs. Even though they
Definitely.
lost the first one, they did a great job of bringing it close.
Definitely. And they just needed the four frontline quicks. They didn't need a fifth bowler at all. And that's what's disappointing from an Australian perspective. But you're right, Pakistan, they lost by an innings when they scored 556 against England. And we're all wondering, where the hell do they go from here? Well, they won the Test series against England, and now they've won an ODI series in Australia. So credit to the team. Credit to Dizzy Gillespie as the coach, the players. They've really sparked a great turnaround, and they've done a Pakistan here. When you think they're in the dump, they come out and surprise everyone. They've done it again,
Absolutely.
and
That's classic Pakistan.
totally deserve to win this series, and they could have easily won it 3-0. The fast bowlers, to see Australia struggle like that against pace is credit to, well, it's a problem for Australia, of course, but it's credit to Pakistan as well. They dominated. Well and truly,
Absolutely.
they absolutely
Absolutely.
smashed us. And we've got work to do with our batting. And I think as well, the World Cup in South Africa is only just over 2 years away now. It comes quickly. So you've got to
It
start thinking,
does.
if your first 11's not playing, or your first 11, players are not there, who's next in line? And that team yesterday was very much a shortest format of the game team. Lots of T20 players in there. Stoinis hadn't played a List A game for a year. His ODI record since 2019 has been shocking. So we've got some thinking to do there about who's next in line.
And Australia have actually got an opportunity to make it right with the three T20s coming up against Pakistan. So again, Josh Inglis, the captain, will be a good test for him before the team. There'll be lots of opportunities for this young Australian, Cooper Connolly, Bartlett, even someone like a Sean Abbott as well, who has been in and out of the team. Spencer Johnson, Matthew Short. There's lots going on there for the Australian T20 team. What do you think?
I like the look of Spencer Johnson. I thought he bowled really well in that third game. Got the ball moving around nicely. Was unlucky not to get a wicket at least. So it'd be good to see him. Xavier Bartlett, he's had a very good start to his international career. He's got something about him as well. So there's some good players there in the shortest format. It'll be good to bounce back in that series. But we need more clarity on what the ODI team's going to look like when the first 11 is not there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was saying on Twitter today, like someone like a Ben McDermott is a very good player to have in a team when, you don't have Smith and Marnus in there. Ben McDermott is a player I don't want to see Australia sort of cast him aside. I'd like to see him still in the mix, because, he's hit 100 and a 50 in five ODIs. And he's the sort of player that can hold things together. And you need that player in ODI cricket. So yeah, we'll look forward to the T20s and see what happens there, because it's going to be a test by pace again, no doubt about it.
And with the loss in the one day series, there's questions regarding Australia for the upcoming Champions Trophy as well. And it's maybe 4 months away now, February,
We'll
March,
surprise
4 months
everyone and win
away.
it. That's what we do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have no doubt. I have no doubt
Oh,
at all.
yeah.
Yeah,
Champions Trophy has been a topic of debate.
if India is not even there, that'll make it more interesting.
I can't see that happening. I'm sure we'll touch on it in this podcast, the Champions Trophy debate. But you never know with Australia when it comes to these sort of ICC tournaments, we tend to surprise everyone, and we'll have sort of Travis Head at the top. Who partners him at the top remains to be seen. But then Smith, I think Alex Carey's got to be in our ODI team. Alex Carey must be there, whether you have Inglis and Carey, possibly. They're both good players. But yeah, we'll see what happens, depending on the India series, whether everyone's fit, and then the Sri Lanka Test series, and see what happens after that. And then hopefully we're in a good spot for the Champions Trophy. But some work to do in that format.
Speaking of Champions Trophy, let's get straight into it. And there's obviously news around it. We've all heard.
Yes.
Even if you're living under a rock, you should have heard. And I have some thoughts about it. Like I've
I'm sure you
always
do.
maintained my I've always maintained my stance, and I've some thoughts. But before, and people may call it bias, but before I give my biased opinion, as a non-Indian, as a non-Pakistani, what do you make of it, and
Yep.
what do you have to say to your fellow non-Indian, non-Desis, non-Pakistanis, either way?
Well, anyone who's surprised by India not going to Pakistan, I wonder why you're not surprised. That's the first thing I'll say. They were never going, right? That's the first thing. And I've seen some people say, "Oh, it's India, abusing their power as such." That's a lot of the feedback I've seen on social media. But from the outside looking in, India-Pakistan relations politically is very, very tricky. We all know that, right? And unfortunately, we've seen an incident in Pakistan over the weekend at a train station. There's always a risk when India go there, and that's how Indians feel. You're going on government advice, right?
Exactly,
Okay.
exactly. And yeah, you keep
And
going.
then the second thing is, for people to say run the competition without India because you got to stand up to them, okay, that's all well and good in theory, but that is financial suicide, because cricket is in a situation where you've got one country that generates 80 to 9% of the revenue, around 80 to 90%. Okay, well, let's have the revenue lower for one tournament, it's all right, but what happens when your broadcasters ask for a massive discount, or they're very upset and they threaten to pull out of a deal altogether with the ICC? Star Sports have a huge deal with the ICC. Where are they based? Who's their main audience? Okay. Then you've got in a situation where other countries might be affected by that as well, because they'll get, we talk about the revenue share. We'd love that to be higher for the other countries, higher than what it is. Because the revenue is lower for the ICC, if you've got sponsors pulling out and broadcasters unhappy, you're going to get other countries affected, but they might get a lower revenue share as a result. There's a snowball effect of all this. Yes, it's easy to say, kick India out of the tournament. In an ideal world, we don't want someone 80 to 90% of the revenue. I'd love to see that revenue, generated by more countries around the world, but unfortunately, that is the reality. And if you're going to run a tournament without India, you're going to get sponsors pulling out unhappy. You're going to get broadcasters asking at least for a huge discount, because that's a majority of their audience not watching. There's a huge snowball effect that, to me, there's no way they'll run a tournament without India. They'd be mad to do
And
it. Mad.
absolutely. Look, my thoughts on this are you definitely, we have spoken about it quite a few times. And I'll start with this. It's not, people say, oh, you have to stand up to the bully. And it's not like it's not a school bully. It's not someone calling you names in the playground. That's not the same situation here.
Yeah.
This is where financial ramifications come into play.
No
this is where
question.
loss of revenue come into play. And this is not the same type of bully situation you encounter in schools or in playgrounds or in your local community, because this is much bigger than that. This is the survival of the sport. And I agree, like in like you said, in an ideal situation, we want more people watching the sport across all the countries. But the fact of the matter is, Indians love cricket. Indians consume cricket like crazy. They will consume cricket because
It's like they
that's
consume it like water. It really is. They consume it like water. It's, yeah.
exactly. Indians will consume cricket. And even if, let's say, even if India doesn't go to the Champions Trophy, lots of Indians will still watch. That's not the problem. Many Indians will still watch, but you will lose out on a much bigger fan base
Course you will.
of casuals and of people who just watch cricket when India plays. You lose out on them, and that's a lot of numbers as well.
Huge numbers.
And then when it comes to safety, people talk about safety because people say, oh, there are international teams traveling, and I've said this again and again. There's a huge difference between an Australian team or a New Zealand team traveling to Pakistan and an Indian team traveling to Pakistan. There's a massive difference. If you put it on the same level,
No, it's not the same level.
you are massively detached from reality. You can't put that
It's not.
both those events on the same level. It's massive. There's a massive difference between a Bumrah and a Virat Kohli playing cricket in Pakistan as opposed to a Pat Cummins or a Kane Williamson. Yes, they are big cricketers, but there is a massive difference there. And if you can't understand that, then I think you sh just shouldn't speak on this topic at all. Then after that, when it comes to safety again, people say, oh, it's been, there's this PSL happening, cricket happening. Yeah, fine, but it's not like the threat that we talk about. It's not imagined threat. We are not visualizing the threat. It has happened.
Yes.
Events have taken place for this to happen. There have been events in the past, not even 2 decades ago. It's been only 15 years since a cricket team was attacked. Can all those experts and all those people who say, step up to the bully and kick India out and all that stuff, can all those experts 100%, 110% say to me, oh yes, are we guarantee India's safety? Can someone guarantee India's safety, players' safety, when India visits there?
I'll ask those
If
people.
the
Ask those
if you
people. Yeah.
hesitate, if you hesitate even for 1 second, then you shouldn't
You just got to
talk
ask
on the
the
topic.
people, what is the government advice for India going to Pakistan for the Indian team? What does the government tell you? If the government, if you say that don't listen to the government, go to Pakistan, well, that's, is that irresponsible or not?
And look, I'm as an Indian fan, I'll also say that the government is trying to isolate Pakistan on an international stage. That is happening. I'm not denying that. And
Our government's
there's
got a lot to
obviously,
answer to everywhere, you know?
yeah, exactly. And
No doubt
the
about
big
it.
the question is also that the who controls the BCCI and who controls the government? It is easy to see who there are. Pretty much, there are similarities there. Obviously the president of the not the president but the secretary, the chairman of the BCCI is a
Yep.
minister's son. There's but when you speak about government's directive, I'm not even thinking about that, to be honest. I'm just thinking from a safety point of view. That's my bottom line. I'm just thinking from a safety point of view. Can people actually give us guarantee that Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, Jasprit Bumrah, all these cricketers will be 110% safe when they land and when they play cricket?
Yeah,
Can
that's a great
someone give that
question.
guarantee?
No, they
That's
can't.
my
No one
only
can.
question.
No one
That's my
can.
only question. And you say, oh, you can't even give that guarantee in Australia or in India or in Sri Lanka. Yes, that is correct. But in Pakistan, events have happened. Things have
Yes,
happened. A cricket
there's
team has been
political
attacked.
tensions between India and Pakistan, and everyone knows that. The tensions are there, right? And Yeah, you're right. And the thing is as well, I've seen some views that India can't choose when and where they play. Well, they just went to the Caribbean for a T20 World Cup, and they've been to Australia for a 50 over. They go everywhere else for tournaments. They don't pick and choose where they want to play. To me, this is not me defending the BCCI, because I think the BCCI have got a lot to answer to in other different things.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
the way they
Absolutely.
engage, the supporters is non-existent. The worst board when it comes to fan engagement. The way that they almost make highlights and footage of cricket almost inaccessible to people. Terrible, right? The way they planned, I think, the 2023 ODI World Cup, shocking. There's been a lot of things that you and I have been very critical of when it's the BCCI. It's not just us standing up to the biggest board and trying to be friendly with the big guys. It's not that. We're talking about a situation where it's India and Pakistan. India traveling to Pakistan, they've always been hesitant to do so, particularly in the last 15 years due to certain events. And then you talk about running a competition or running a tournament without India. Well, then you're not going to have very happy broadcasters and sponsors. And that's where the revenue comes from. And that's where the revenue is then distributed to the boards across the world.
Do you know what I honestly feel? I've been thinking since yesterday. Let chaos reign. Let's say India doesn't go to the Champions Trophy. I don't mind. Let West Indies play. Let who else is missing? I
Sri
don't know who else
Lanka,
is missing, but
Sri Lanka.
let Sri Lanka play. I'm all for that. Let it's the thing is, you may think I sound arrogant, but the fact of the matter is, it's not going to be India's loss.
Certainly
And
not.
people have to accept that fact that India holds the power when it comes to revenue generation, just due to the scale of following, scale of population. And okay, what's the solution? No one actually gives any solutions when they say, let kick India out. Okay, India, let's say India doesn't go out to Pakistan, India doesn't play Champions Trophy. What comes next? ICC will, like you said, ICC will bear the loss.
They will,
Other countries
and
will
so
bear the
to the
loss.
other countries as well, because we talk about the revenue share not being fair, right? That's some of the arguments around the world. Your revenue share, if things go badly with your broadcasters and your sponsors, for example, your revenue share will be less. I'm looking at it
And Gina.
from a bigger picture point of view. What could be the effect of it? Because it's easier to say, okay, tell them not to play. Okay, fine, but then what's the effect of that? Because unfortunately, as we've said, is that cricket's revenue and cricket's economics is dominated so heavily by one country. It's not ideal, but that's the reality.
And
That's the reality.
it's not the fans' fault that they love cricket.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not a 10-year-old kid watching Virat Kohli or Rohit Sharma in a village in India. It's not his fault that
No way.
India plays so much cricket or India makes so much money. People just love cricket. That's it. But when it comes to such decisions, I think people who truly don't understand the nitty and gritty of how a business is run, I think that what makes it more frustrating than anything else. Because whether you like it or not, it might be a sport for you. It is a business. The organizations have to run it as a business.
Yep, we've said this
And
before, and it's true.
there's couple of there's I saw opinions where people, mostly English people, who love to take a stand for everything, but English experts or the players should come out. Indian players should come out and raise their voices and raise their voices of what the BCCI is doing.
See,
I'm like, you don't understand how employment works, do you? The players are essentially the players are employees.
no.
They are not contractors or they are not freelancers. They are employees,
But
and
just for a
BCCI is their
second,
employer.
what I'd say to those people is put yourself in the position of that player for a second. You're asking for a player to go over to Pakistan, where there've been some, as I've said before, some tensions. What is the player thinking? What do their family think? What does that player's family think about them going across there? That's a question you've got to think about and ask before we make statements like that.
Absolutely. I mean, we could sit here and talk all day about that, but the bottom line is, if India doesn't go to the Champions Trophy, I think I'm all for it. I don't mind that happening.
They'll make it, they'll do a hybrid at the very
They
least.
will do a hybrid. They
There's no
will do a
question.
hybrid.
There's no doubt about it. You can talk about it on Twitter all you want, but it's not happening that India will be kicked out. It's financial suicide, right?
Also,
And then
I'll end with this actually. I was reading the article earlier from Crick Info. That's what sparked all of this discussions on Twitter, the Crick Info article. There's not one source mentioned. I know it says Pakistan, ICC have conveyed to the Pakistan PCB that India are not traveling, and doesn't say
so there's no
who.
quote. I haven't
There's
actually
no
read the
quote.
article.
There's no quote. There's no source. There's no, not even a report like ICC insiders say told us this or PCB sources. Nothing of that sort. It's just statements.
Interesting.
There's no source and there's nothing. So at the end of the day, it could very well be that India travels to Pakistan. We
I
don't
can
know
tell you from
that.
now they won't. I can tell you
I know
from
they
now they
won't.
won't.
I know they won't, but there's that slight 1% chance that they
It'd be
might.
interesting.
So
It'd be fascinating if they
that'll
do.
be fun. That'll be fun.
Listen, I would want nothing more than for India to travel and for nothing to happen and for the cricket to go along swimmingly and smoothly and everyone to be happy. There's nothing more that I want than that. That'd be great. But there's some things to consider first. There's some things to consider first. So on to India, on the field now, the T20 series in South Africa. What have you made of it so far? Sandru Samson with a great knock in the first game and then losing the second one, a low scoring game. What have you made of it so
Yeah,
far?
I think the there's too much quick criticism happening. I
Interesting.
know
Yeah.
India played I know India played poorly in the second T20. There were some questionable choices in when it comes to bowling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
Yeah.
bowling Akshar Patel at a certain stage. But I think it is a young team. The team is still finding their feet. Yes, Sanju Samson played absolutely brilliantly in the first T20. He's been given a longer leash going forward. There's trolling happening for Abhishek Sharma, who's just it's still not. I don't think he has even played 10, 15 T20 internationals. And
Yeah.
let's just give everyone a time. Surya Kumar Yadav has been doing well as a captain as well. There's, like I said, everyone is going to get things wrong every now and then. India is not going to keep winning all of the games that they play
Particularly
till the end of
T20.
universe.
T20 can
Yeah,
fluctuate a
exactly.
lot. Yeah, it wasn't a great start in the second game. Interestingly, Abhishek Sharma's got 100 of his 170 runs so far in T20 internationals in one innings. So he's played 9 innings and 100 of those have come in one, 100 of those come in one knock. So consistency is going to be key for him, but we've seen his ability. You don't want to, this is a good experience for him. I think he played in Zimbabwe where he got that 100, now in South Africa. So he's getting more experience away from home.
The thing also is this team, from the looks of it, this team has a perfect balance of experience and young.
I think there's some good experience there and good youngsters.
You got Surya Kumar Yadav, you got Hardik Pandya, you got Akshar Patel with the experience, and you got all the even Harshdeep Singh, I would say, is much more experienced than some of the players who are playing in that 11, because he's gone to a couple of T20 World Cups. He's been around for a while, and a lot of these youngsters, Abhishek Sharma, Tilak Verma, Ravi Bishnoi, they are still young and really early into their international career. So I think they'll take time to gel together, and I have no doubt that this is a great T20 team, and we will see wonders in the next few months.
There'll be a disappointment there because you had South Africa 6 down for 66 chasing that score. Chakravarti, outstanding. I mean, his rise over the last year or two since he fell away a little bit, I felt, since he came into that India side and then he fell away a little bit, but he's come good. 5 for 17 from 4 overs from him. But yeah, Akshar Patel bowling one over. What's going on there? I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, look, I think that's just either I would say that's poor captaincy.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Not reading the situation correctly, and look, it happens. It happens, man. I mean,
It happens, but Man, he'll be difficult to get away. Low scoring game, and Akshar Patel bowling one over is a bit of a blunder, I think. But yeah, you've got to learn from that as a captain. But shout out to Tristan Stubbs from South Africa. That's, I think, the last month, he's played three very good knocks that I can remember the top of my head across three formats. So you've got this one, 47 not out to guide his team home. He scored 100 against Ireland in an ODI and then 100 in a test match not so long ago in Bangladesh as well. So starting to really come good, Tristan Stubbs. A lot to like about him.
Absolutely.
A versatile
Absolutely.
player, can do well across formats and plays according to the situation. That had to be a gritty, grindy innings yesterday. It wasn't a sense of, oh, I'm going to try hit a six here. If I get out, so be it. That's just the way I play. That excuse always gets to me. I think the best players play according to the situation. He's showing that. So two more T20s, if I'm not mistaken, in that
That's
series.
correct. Yeah,
Two
that's
more.
correct.
And then we'll get into the
Your
Border
body
Gavaskar
part.
Trophy chat, which is coming up very soon, less than 2 weeks away now. Australia have finally confirmed their opener. It's Nathan McSweeny, the guy I wanted personally. I've been shouting from the rooftops. I wanted him, and they picked him. You're always going to get some people who are happy with it. Some are not. Why are you picking another player who's not traditionally an opener in the opener spot? But I think he's got the game to succeed. And even in the game against India A in the second tour game, he scored 14 and 25. Okay, it's not going to,
I think
stop the world, but he looked pretty good in both innings, I felt.
as an Australian fan, do you think putting McSweeney as an opener against the likes of Bumrah, possibly Shami, if he turns up? I don't think he's going to, but
At least later in the series, Shami, potentially.
putting him up against the likes of Bumrah and
It's
Siraj
going to be
and all
tough.
these players.
And it'd be the same question for Harris, for Bancroft, for Constance, or whoever else you wanted to put in there. But who inspires the most confidence technically? I think McSweeney's technique is fantastic, and I think he's got the game to
What
succeed.
in terms of experience, though?
Our experience is going to be hard. I get that. If you wanted to go the experienced option, you go with Harris or you go with a Bancroft. I get it. But look, they've gone in with the younger option. And the player who's been in good form the last year and a bit in Shield cricket, first class cricket.
And
I
do
know
you
it.
think, sorry, do you think Bancroft has missed out big? Because why I ask that question is for the last
Oh
two,
no,
three years,
he's
he
been good
has
in Shield.
been a cut above everyone else in batting in Shield cricket, and he was much ahead in line for an Australia call up before anyone else.
I think it was harsh not for him not to get it last year, and then they put Steve Smith as opener. That's when, if you wanted to pick Bancroft, he was in the form. It's just because his form has been so bad this season. I don't know if he scored over 20 in an innings yet. Has
No,
he?
I don't remember that.
I mean, he scored, I think, 10 runs in the four games in Shield, and the Australia A games didn't go well for him. So if you go on current form, that's probably what's taken the selectors away. And I feel for him, I really do, because you're right, he's been good for the last 2 years and he's banged the door down. But his form this season has been so poor when it's mattered the most. And they're going with the guy who's scoring the runs in McSweeney. And I think McSweeney looks good. He looks good. And look, there's a question as well. You're going to have two accumulators at the top, Usman Khawaja,
Yes.
McSweeney. They're not the quickest of scorers. I understand that. But it's all right. You work off the new ball. You tie the
Yeah,
Indian bowlers
and
out. You set things up for the middle order. I don't think it's too bad a thing.
Bancroft has a total of 29 runs from 8 innings, so yeah,
You know what
he
I mean?
hasn't
He's
been
had two
great.
good seasons. Yes. But then you're going to pick a guy who's got 29 runs in his last eight innings. He's out of form. That's the tricky thing. And I feel for him because you're right. He's been knocking the door down. But 29 runs in eight innings heading into a test series, not ideal.
That includes the India A and Australia A
Correct. So that'll
games.
be two Shield games and two A games.
That's correct.
What do you do? I don't know. Yeah, it's a difficult one.
It'll be really interesting though, because if McSweeney this McSweeney spot doesn't go as the Australians hope, there'll be a lot of people saying, "I told you so,"
Yes, there will be. And there'll be a lot aimed at me as well, I'm sure, because I've called for it. But for me, he inspires the comment. He doesn't. It takes a good ball to get him. And I think that's probably less the case for the others. With
And that's probably
McSweeney,
why we have Bumrah.
there's a couple of jaffers he got throughout the A game. But what impressed me at times is he doesn't actually follow the ball. He'll play the line, he'll play the ball late, he'll play the ball close to his body. Technically, he's very sound and he's 25 years of age. Let's see how he goes. Let's see how he
Plus,
goes.
also, if you want to try a debutant, it's perfect to do it against
Perfect to
India.
do it against India. You're right. Try it against them.
They'll
Last
make
time
a
it was
big
Pokowski.
star out of
Pokowski
him.
hit a 60 a few years ago. And look,
I
you
mean,
know, if you can.
Jason Kredza ended up taking 12 wickets in a test match, so
Correct. That's
Cameron
right.
White ended up getting Sachin Tendulkar out. So yeah, there's lots of examples.
That's right. And if you can see off that new ball and tire India and get that middle order, because look, Australia's batting, like India, there's big question marks about our batting. You don't want Marnus in one down for nothing, Steve Smith two down for nothing. McSweeney, I think, can bat a decent time. He's got the aptitude and the mentality to bat long. Let's hope he does. And that brings us on to the Ask Crick Blog segment, where we've had fans kindly send in some questions for us to answer in this segment. So the first question from Sparsh underscore, well, Sparsh Telang, rather, underscore cricket Sparsh. Would love a brief overview of all the five Waitakere Trophy venues. So quickly for Perth, Optus Stadium, I think you'll get quite similar to what you saw in the ODI against Pakistan, bouncy pitch, where even Aaron Hardy in one ball got hit just on the knee roll when he was forward and the ball was going over the stumps. So you're going to get some bowler friendly conditions over there. We've got Adelaide with the day night test match. There's
Yep.
getting quite a bit of movement under lights there with the pink ball. So batting under lights, I think, will be very, very tricky there. And even in last summer against the West Indies, where Shamar Joseph made his debut, he was outstanding, taking wickets on a pitch that was doing quite a bit. So the Adelaide surface has been doing more. Your thoughts on those two?
Yeah, I think look,
Verdicts?
all of the Australian venues, we know what to expect. There's not going to be something that people say, oh, that's new.
Yes. And they've been a lot more bowler friendly. A
even
lot more bowler friendly.
yes, and even in the Shield matches that have been played, it's not like all of the Shield matches are played at these big venues, but we teams do use SCG and the MCG and the Adelaide Oval at times. So
MCG's had quite a bit in it this summer already.
yeah,
In the A game,
exactly
in the Sheffield
exactly
Shield.
Yep, it has been a bowler friendly pitch this season, MCG. So that's something to look out for. It's not going to be a flat pitch like we have seen. Hopefully, it's not a flat pitch like we've seen for the last few years. But it's going to be a spicy pitch, MCG, especially in the morning sessions.
Yes, MCG this year, the A game, there was plenty of movement for the quicks. The Shield game between Victoria and New South Wales was quite seamer friendly. Brisbane in December, mid-December, be interesting to see how that one plays up there. But typically as well, a pitch, I mean, 2 years ago in the South Africa game, you remember that one, the Green Monster. It
Yes.
was rated unsatisfactory by the ICC. I expect this summer, trying to think back, was there a Gabba test last summer? Yes, of course, West Indies. We
Yes.
all saw what happened
Yeah, the
there.
West Indies.
Okay. Of
Yep.
course, all right. Of course, I forgot that. but we saw what happened there. Again, very bowler-friendly conditions with the ball nipping around. I think you're going to get difficult for batting this Waitakere Trophy. You need guys technically correct, which is going to be important. And in Sydney, well, if it's not raining, typically the least seamer friendly, I'd say, out of those that I've mentioned, it will assist spin. More so than the other venues, especially as the game goes on. I think it will. So definitely your seam bowlers are going to be crucial. We'll see what happens there in that series. Another question we've got from AGK at it's me underscore AV or AV. Speak truth about why Australia played to lose against Pakistan just because India did against New Zealand. Yes, is there trying to compete with India there? But I thought we just got our tactics wrong in the whole series. We tried to go too hard. Instead of trying to construct an innings, we tried to hit fours and sixes all the time. Doesn't always work that way.
I mean, the situation now in international cricket is that India can't play spin and Australia can't play pace.
Welcome to 2024. Welcome to 2024. India getting done by spin, Australia getting done by pace.
I mean, the Australians know what kind of pitches they need to make, to be honest.
Yep.
In the upcoming test series, it's Nathan Lyon, Rod Murphy, unleash all of
get them the ball
all at
square.
Once, and you'll win. Yeah, you'll win.
Get Kuniman in.
In all seriousness, brings back to your last week's conversation about Virat Kohli and why people still think he's really dangerous on Australian shores is because he loves the pace. He loves ball coming onto the bat, and that just might be the redemption that he needs.
Fair point. But if the ball's nipping around, you've got to be very careful. He can't push as hard out at the ball as he likes to. Similar sort of question from Shri, and at Ram Shri. Do you think over-aggressiveness affected Aussie's batting 100%? You know, even in that first game where we're in total control, you got guys hitting out to the deep and losing unnecessary wickets. Happened all series. We did not get the tempo right. That's what England are struggling with in ODI cricket. You can see that they're trying to shoehorn T20 players into that side. They don't get the tempo right with their batting. ODI batting is a skill, and I don't think it's lost yet, even with T20 cricket taking over. Another question from Strike One and Out at Strike One and Out. Will Pakistan be stripped of its rights from hosting the Champions Trophy? What do you reckon?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that.
I don't think so.
It'll be a hybrid.
Yeah, it'll be a hybrid, and I don't think I don't think India will travel like we have discussed.
Yes, I don't think India travel. So you can refer to the earlier part of this podcast about the India traveling debate. But yeah, I see Pakistan. I think it'd be unfair to Pakistan to strip it off them. They will host it, but I think it'll be a hybrid concept where India will play out of the UAE. That's where I see it happening. But a question before we finish, it's not a question from fans, but mate, who opens for India in the first test? Because Rohit's not going to play. Who would you pick?
Look, I think the same.
We're talking about the Australia. We're talking about the Australia opener, but what about the
to be honest, I have, look, Jaiswal is going to be there.
Jaiswal, yeah. Who's going to partner him?
There is an option of pushing Rahul to open because he has done it before, and Gill as well. Gill bats three, and you can put Gill as an opener and then put Rahul at three. But if you are looking at Gill as a long term number three option, then he has to bat at three in Australia.
Yes, agree with that,
and that would mean you put Rahul as the opener.
So dismissal.
Yeah, I did. And that's the thing. I think he opened in the Australia A game as well. So
got through the new ball, batted for about four balls, and then did that. So the question mentally, is he all there? I mean, you know, is time away from the spotlight going to help him? But then do you pick a debutant to open against Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins, etc.?
They are possibly looking at Rahul to open because they knew Rohit Sharma is not traveling, and that's why they put him up to open it at in the Australia A game. So that would mean Jaiswal and Rahul open. And look, Rahul could be a really great asset if he keeps his mindset right.
Just some of the dismissals. Exactly.
He could play the long innings like Pujara used to do. He could hopefully play the long innings and tire out the bowlers, because Jaiswal and Gill are not going to do that. They like the runs. They like the ball coming off the bat. And obviously Virat Kohli is not going to do that. So it will fall upon Rahul. So that'll be really interesting to see.
One of the great enigmas, I think, is KL Rahul. All the game, all the quality. But he just leaves you frustrated. He could probably get the opener spot. We'll see how he goes there. We'll leave it at there for this episode. Thanks, Nash. Thanks to all the listeners, the viewers. You can subscribe to us. We'd love for you to subscribe to us, Cricblog TV on YouTube, and you can listen to the podcast audio version, Spotify, Apple, etc., wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us also on X and Instagram at Cricblog Pod. We post a number of reels each week from the episode, and engage with us and get in touch. Thanks, Nash. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.